Matthew chapter 5, we do have the Lord's Supper to honor here in a little bit, so I'll try to keep the sermon shorter. Don't write that down. Or hold your breath. Matthew chapter 5, just one verse, so that should be quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 48. Very simple verse, just one verse, very easy, very light fare tonight. Very surface stuff, very easy stuff. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of gathering again here tonight. Thank you for each one that's come out. And Father, we come, Father, simply because we want to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. We want to be in the place of your blessing. God, we don't do the things we do for human acclaim, for any attention, but Father, we do them simply because our hearts hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, we want to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. We want to be fed by the precious Word of God. Father, I know tonight that if that's going to be accomplished, it's going to have to be your Spirit that is our teacher and our guide. We thank you for an inspired book. We thank you, Father, we can try the Spirit. We can try all things by the Word of God. And I pray tonight you'd help us to honestly examine this command that you've given to us. Father, understand it in the biblical context in which it's given and the light in which we have. Father, give us a challenge tonight to live above just the normal Christian life. Father, help us to have a desire, honestly and sincerely from our heart, to please you every minute of every day. God, as we go throughout our day, we're not doing things to please others. We're doing it to please you. And Father, if we please you, we will please others who are right with you. God, speak to our hearts from your word. May it be exalted and lifted up. Father, may it in turn, as it always does when it's exalted and lifted up, may it exalt and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word, each and every heart. Speak to us tonight, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ has told his followers, his disciples, be perfect. Turn, if you would, keep your place there, but look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me give you a comparative command to this one that you and I really don't have a problem with. Now, when I say we don't have a problem with it, I don't mean that we easily do it. I mean we easily understand it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15. And you notice the similarity in the wording here, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. All right, the Lord has given us a command. Every one of us that are followers and believers in Christ, he's given us a command to be holy. All right, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your members, in your body, which are God's. And he's given us a command to be holy. That command is not without reason. That command is not impossible to perform, or he wouldn't have given that command. He said, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. And when you first look at that, you say, how in the world am I going to be holy like God is? Well, the Bible's full of things. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So understand that God qualifies that commandment and tells us that we are able to do it. Titus 1, verse 7 and 8 says about a bishop, he must be blameless, sober, just, holy, temperate. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. It's possible to be holy. In this world, in this life, the things that we do, the Bible talks about holy brethren, holy men, holy women, holy prophets. It is possible to be holy. If it wasn't possible, Jesus wouldn't have commanded us, be ye holy as I am holy. So we understand that he gave that command. It's possible to fulfill. We can do it. Others have done it. Now we go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. A similar command. And the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect. even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know what somebody says? Nobody's perfect. You're wrong. I'll give you in a minute 5 biblical examples of somebody who is perfect. That sure blows away the modern day terminology, doesn't it? You say, well, people won't understand when I say, well, you don't tell them you're perfect, because if you are perfect, you wouldn't be saying you were perfect. It gets muddled here along the way. But you can say there are 5 people in the Bible that the Bible declares were perfect. So it's not true that nobody's perfect. The Lord said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now here's the confusion. Here's what throws people off. Many times people think that they think that perfection is sinlessness. The word perfect is used 99 times in your Bible. Men are commanded to be perfect. So there's a possibility and a capability to be perfect, but you and I know that we cannot be sinless. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. You spend time in the Word of God, and it's possible for you and I to be perfect. 99 times it's mentioned in the Bible. Now, that number should stand out to you. 99 times, the double 9 in there, and we know that the number 9 in the Bible stands for fruit bearing. And the only way you're going to be perfect is by the Scripture. All Scripture, 9 letters, is given by inspiration of God. So it is possible, according to Jesus Christ, if He commands, it's possible for you and for me, as followers of Jesus Christ, to be perfect. Not sinless, but perfect. You say, what's the difference? Well, we're going to cover that in a minute. What I want you to understand is, you need to set the bar high. You ever seen somebody do the high jump? You know, in track and field, they do the high jump. They put the bar down here, they start with a standard that's fairly high and difficult. They don't start where everybody can do it. They set the bar up here, and as people jump, they set the bar higher and higher. What the Lord is telling you and I, that once we're saved and washed in the blood, we need to understand we don't set the bar down here. There's too many Christians trying to step over a bar that's way down here. We should be past that low stage of crossing the bar. Our bar should be way up here by this time, and that's what the Lord's talking about being holy and being perfect. Perfection is not sinlessness. Look at a couple of examples, and Bible examples are always the best examples. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We're going to look at 2 men and what the Bible says about them being perfect, and contrast the two to find out what perfect means. All right? 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Now, this morning, we used one scripture verse in the whole sermon. Psalm 33 verse 12. You didn't have to turn any... You saved up your turning for tonight. Okay? Because tonight we're going to make up for the lack of turning this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, get that in one hand, and in the other hand, get 1 Kings chapter 15. Because we're going to look at these two stories side by side and see what this thing of perfection means. 2 Chronicles 25 and 1 Kings 15. Second Chronicles 25, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Notice here it says, Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now you want to notice this. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he didn't have a perfect heart. He did the right things, but didn't have a perfect heart. Now look back at 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 14. This one is talking about Asa. And it says about Asa in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. You've got an example of a man that did everything right, but his heart wasn't perfect. Now you've got an example of a man that didn't do everything completely right, but his heart was perfect. So perfection is not the same as sinlessness. Perfection is not doing everything right all the time. What is a perfect heart? What is perfection? It's having a desire to be faithful and to serve God and do the right things all the time, even though you don't always do it. There's one man that did the right things, but his heart wasn't perfect. There's many times you perform the right things. You do what you're supposed to do, but your heart's not really in it. That's not perfection. There's another time with all your heart you desire to do right, but because of this body of flesh, sometimes you stumble in small things. When you stumble in big things, that's not perfection. But you stumble along in small things and trip over some small pebbles, and in that way, your heart is still right with God. That's why the Bible could say of David, he was a man after God's own heart. And perfection is having a heart's desire to do the right thing all the time, even though we make some small errors and mistakes. Now, you go out and rob a bank, you go out and murder somebody, you go out and do something large like that, obviously your heart wasn't right. There's no perfection. But it is possible for you and I to be perfect because Jesus said, be ye perfect. And here's a man that was perfect. He did a lot of good things, but he failed to remove the high places. He failed to remove the idols. So Israel wouldn't worship, but he overlooked that in his attempt to do a lot of the right things. But his heart was right with God, and God said about him, not being sinless, said about him, he is perfect. So perfection is not being sinless. It's having a pure heart before God that desires at all times consistently to do the right thing. We can make a judgment in light of the Scripture on whether or not we're perfect or not. Now, it's not one we can brag about or talk about. Because the minute we do that, perfection's out the window. It's like humility. The minute you tell people you've got it, you've lost it. This thing of perfection, we can tell, and looking at others, we can tell whether or not they've got a heart that's really after God. Not because they're sinless, but because you know the desire of their heart and their character, that they desire with all their being to do the right thing. That's what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. Notice this command. We've seen it in Matthew 5:48. But notice other times. Notice back in Genesis chapter 17. I can say, folks, this evening without any doubt, without any hesitation, God's desire for you as His child is for you to be perfect. He has commanded you to be perfect. Look at Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God commanded Abram to be perfect at 99 years old. In other words, it's never too late to be perfect. At 99 years old, God said, came up to him and he said, Abram, I want you to be perfect in your walk before me. God commanded him to do so. If he commanded him to do it, it's not impossible for him to do it. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to take these in order, that way you don't have to go back and forth. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want you to see tonight that it is God's desire for each and every one of us who claim to be children of God, it's God's desire for us to be perfect. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 13. Again, one of the commandments of God. People say, I'm trying to keep the 10. Well, there's a lot more than 10. Deuteronomy is just chock full of them. Here's one of them in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 13. The commandment says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. See, you can't get by the fact that God says, I want you to be perfect. When somebody says, there's nobody perfect, they're using it in a wrong definition or an incorrect definition. But God uses it in the sense that He says, I command you, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon is praying. He's praying for the nation of Israel. And he says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 61, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes, to keep His commandments as it is as at this day. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, don't you want to be perfect before God? I mean, He said He wants you, be thou perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's given you that command as your Savior. So shouldn't it be our heart's desire as believers that want to please Him and serve Him? It should. If we don't desire to be perfect, then there's something wrong with us already. And He's given the command over and over again. And here it says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God. There are things that you just can't do when opportunity arises and you might pursue that thing. There's just things that you know aren't right with God. And you can't pursue them. There's no, you say, well, you know, that's a tough decision. No, it's not a tough decision. You're not allowed to do it, so you don't do it. A lot of things that people, you know, and this, your walk with God has to be growing during the years. There's things that young Christians will struggle with that older Christians should not be struggling with. And there's things that we look at younger Christians and we say, well, you know, they're battling this or that. Well, just don't do it. Just say no. It's easy for us to say because we've conquered the flesh to that extent where a younger believer has not conquered to that extent. We understand there's got to be a growth in grace. But at the same time, the Lord has said, be thou perfect in your walk before me. And we ought to have that heart desire to do it. And some things are just black and white. Don't do this. Do this. It's that simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It takes being able to read the Bible, and it says, be thou holy, and it says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God. So determine that's the way it's going to be. Look at Psalm chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101. He said, now preacher, all these verses are in the Old Testament. It's a different... I got you. You just hang on here just a second. You know how I know some of you think that way? Because that's the way I think. Matthew 5, well, that's the Sermon on the Mount. That's not the dispensation. The Old Testament, that's not... I know that. We'll get there. Psalm chapter 101, verse number 2. David says this, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Some of us can't walk in our heart in our house with a perfect heart because there's too much sin in there. The music that's playing, the things that are on television, whatever's going on in the house, you couldn't have a perfect heart if you tried. You got too much wickedness and ungodliness and vileness, the world's music, the world's language, all pouring in your own house. David said, I'll be perfect. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Do you desire perfection? Do you desire to fulfill Christ's command? To be ye perfect. Now let's go over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And nowhere to hide here. Nothing to duck behind. Paul is writing in the church age, and he says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Remember the church at Corinth in the first letter? Now this is the end of the second letter. Things are a lot better off now. The first letter he had to reprove and rebuke them for a lot of sin they allowed in the congregation. But in the second letter he rejoiced that they repented of those things and got them right. And he says, this is our desire, our wish, even your perfection. The Apostle Paul, writer of half of the New Testament, said it was possible to attain perfection in this life, not sinlessness. That's where people get all messed up on this stuff. I've knocked on their door and I've talked to these weirdos.
I don't know what other thing to say.
And I say, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I said, well, when did you get saved? Well, I got saved in such and such a time, and I've never sinned since then. Okay, that's when the antennas come up, you know, and you realize you're dealing with an alien, something. You never told a lie, you never cheated on anything, never been dishonest. Well, no, I don't mean that. Oh, okay. Those sins don't count. And it's always that thing, you know, where's that line? What sins count, what sins don't count? We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're just talking about the Bible declaring your perfection. Be perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And so we are to be right like that. Look at verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Boy, you think he's living in 2009. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Be perfect. There's not a one of us here tonight that has an excuse saying, I didn't know God wanted me to be perfect. You mean he not only wanted me to be saved, but he wanted me to be perfect on top of that? Yes. And one of these days we'll give an account for our striving and attempting to fulfill the command to be perfect. We're never satisfied in this Christian life. Too many folks get saved and grow to a certain extent and their life changes, and then they just settle in a certain area, in a comfort zone, and it's all right, here I am, this is where I'll be, and I'll never go any farther. Can I be honest with you? As a pastor, there's some people I just realized they're as far as they're ever going to go. There's sometimes people say, well, you know, this person and that, and I just think, well, you know, we've gotten everything out of that person we're going to get. This is as far. You can just tell by their demeanor, by their attitude, by their actions. This is as far as they're ever going to go. And one day we'll have to stand before the Lord, having the Lord know that we determine, this is as far as I'm going to go, God. I'm not going any farther than this. Not doing any more than this. Not giving any more than this. This is as far as I take it. You and I need to be pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus at all times. Never satisfied in this life that we've done enough and gotten our life clean enough, always desiring to get cleaner and closer to God. That's what the Bible says about being perfect. Look at Philippians chapter 3. See, the Bible's just full of this. Full of this desire for you and I as believers to be perfect. You have a bar that's set, and it's a high standard that's set. If it was a low standard, you'd reach it and be satisfied. So God sets a high standard so that we have to strive after it. And if you set the standard this high and only come that close to it, you're still better off than if the standard was down here and you just barely crossed it. And so God sets the standard high because He wants something out of His children. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Philippians 3 and verse 15. Notice verse 14. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. You know, Paul's including himself in there. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. It's an attainable goal. Set your standard high. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Verse number 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras' desire for the brethren as he ministered to them was to encourage them and help them to become perfect before the Lord their God. It is an attainable goal, a standard set by the Lord Jesus Christ that every one of us should honestly be striving after. You know why the Methodists are called Methodists? Back in England, when Wesley and Whitfield and that holy club, as they were called there in Oxford, even before they were converted, when they came back, you know what they did? They began to write a checklist of the day of things that they needed to do to be perfect before God. And they were called Methodists because they had a method. They had a checklist of things that they ought to do. Now, you and I don't have a checklist per se, other than the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that we ought to desire to be perfect. We ought to encourage one another to be perfect. We should never be planting evil seed in someone else's heart. You should never have to worry that I'm going to say something improper before you. You should never have to worry that the pastor's going to cuss. He's going to swear. He's going to plant something in my mind. You know, if I did, don't you know that if I did, you'd never forget it? You and I were having a conversation outside of church and I just threw off an expletive, you'd forget everything I've said for 17 years. And you'd remember that one thing. Now, don't think I don't remember it if you say it. If I got up and told an unclean joke, an off-color joke, whatever it was, you would remember that. Because I would not be encouraging your perfection. There's sometimes people say, well, I want you to know that there's some things I don't need to know. I'm not talking, you know what I mean. There's some particulars about situations. I don't need to know that about that certain person. I don't need to know some habits or practices of things that are just going to plant things. You know, this world is busy trying to plant trash in your mind. The billboards that are out there, the advertisements, and anything you try to watch. I mean, you can be watching sports. You can be watching Little House on the Prairie or something like that, and they'll stick a commercial in there that'll plant something ungodly in the middle of your brain. And some of that stuff that pops up sometimes, you'll be remembering 10 years later. The world is not after your perfection, but the Lord is. And he says, be perfect. And Epaphras was one that tried to encourage them that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. It's possible to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 17 I've referred to once already. Verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. The Word of God is given for you and I to read and to study and to digest because it helps us to be perfect. Can you imagine? Just think about this. Imagine if, and I don't know what's on Sunday night, maybe, you know, when you go home at 9 o'clock, Lost, Survivor, I don't know, whatever the American Idol, I don't know what night these things are on. But just imagine that show that's on Sunday night that you never miss. You went home tonight, and instead of spending an hour in front of the television watching that, you sat down on your couch or your chair and opened the Bible up, and for 1 hour, 60 minutes, you read your Bible. Oh, I can't do that. That's many times the reaction we give ourselves. But imagine taking 1 hour of junk and throwing it out and putting 1 hour of the Bible in there. And then you know what? You do that for about 4, 5, 6 days in a row. And all of a sudden you think, you know, I'm not struggling with sin the way I was about a week ago. Not, you know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you do this and if you're not doing it, that's why. Just put it all in the pot and understand what I'm talking about here. When we make a habit of infesting ourselves with the things of the world and neglecting the things of God, it's not a wonder, it's not bewildering that we don't have victory in our lives. Because victory doesn't come through television. Victory doesn't come through entertainment. Victory doesn't come through the movies and the videos and the CDs and all that. The victory comes from the Word of God. And the Scripture that's given is to make the man of God perfect, truly, not thoroughly. There's a difference between thoroughly and truly. And the King James Bible says, truly furnished unto all good works. We'd have a lot more victory in our life if we would try to follow the Lord's command to be perfect. And it's not that hard to do. A lot of times we just don't want to do it. Hebrews chapter 6. I've only got two more until I go to the third point. Hebrews chapter 6. I just want you to understand that the Bible is full of admonitions for you and I as God's children to be perfect. God's desire is for us to be perfect. We ought not be satisfied with being saved and following the routine and doing what's expected of us as far as others are concerned, but God has given us a command that He wants us before Him to walk perfect. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. And this says it so perfectly clear. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The principles of the doctrine of Christ. The fundamentals of the faith. The resurrection, that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is coming back. All wonderful doctrines, but milk. The milk of the Word of God. Now that we've gotten all these things settled, now that we know that we're saved eternally, and now that we know we're sealed with the Holy Ghost, and now that we know we have the Word of God, and now that we've got the basics down, He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us, Paul is writing, let us go on unto perfection. God wants you to move on from here. Yes, as a new convert, as a new believer, learn all the things of the Bible. Learn the basic doctrines. Get those things down. Read through your Bible. Understand it. But God has a desire for you to attain something farther on, and that is to be perfect. James chapter 1, right after Hebrews. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This is talking about the spiritual realm of wanting nothing. It's talking about the pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. It's talking about not being satisfied with the level of Christianity you're at. It's talking about wanting to please God more. The Bible tells us, the Bible commands us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. What a challenge, what a command is it possible to do? Well, we know first of all, Jesus wouldn't have said do it if it wasn't possible to do. He commands it over and over again throughout the Word of God, through His writings and Paul's and Peter's. It tells us that we are supposed to desire to be perfect. Can it be attained? Look back at Genesis chapter 6. We talked about the confusion over perfection. It doesn't mean sinlessness. It means walking before God with a perfect heart. I mean, Jeff, sometimes you don't clean the closet out completely. Asa did all those things, but forgot to get rid of the idols, forgot to get rid of the gross, but his heart was perfect before his God. He had a desire to do that which is right. If you've got a desire to do that which is right, and you keep that desire burning within you, you will do right. It might take a while. Perfection is not, you wake up tomorrow morning perfect. But if you have that desire, and it's a continual desire to do right, you will end up doing right. If you have a continual desire to do wrong, you'll do wrong. But you get the Word of God in there, you get the things straightened out, and you do it, and you'll be able to be one of these characters that the Bible says was perfect. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was perfect. It's possible to attain that. It's possible to be that. Noah is you can't get before heaven and say, God, you told me to do something I couldn't do. Noah will walk up and say, I did it. Now, of course, Noah wouldn't do that, but the Lord would point over to him and say, he did it. He lived in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. He lived in the midst of a world that's probably worse than the world we live in right now. Because God had enough and destroyed it. We haven't been destroyed yet. God hasn't had enough, so to speak, as He did in the days of Noah. And yet Noah, in the midst of that generation, walked perfect before God. 1 Kings chapter 15. We're winding down. First Kings chapter 15 and verse 3. The Bible says here about Abijam. And he walked not, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Abijam's heart was not perfect as the heart of David his father. David had a perfect heart. He struggled. He sinned. He lost his perfection at different times. But he didn't give up and didn't quit. And he set the standard high again and put that bar up there again, recognized his failures, and had a perfect heart before God. If David can do it, you say, this is Noah, this is David. They're human beings made of flesh and blood. And they're biblical examples to you and I that if they can do it, you can do it. You can be perfect before your God. Right here in the same chapter, verse 14, is the verse we already looked at earlier. Speaking of Asa, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. It's possible to do it. Asa is a testimony of the fact that you can be perfect before God. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. I told you you'd be turning a lot tonight. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 3. Hezekiah is praying. In verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, Isaiah 38, verse 3, and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah maintained his perfection. Turn to the last one, and probably the most obvious one, and that is Job chapter 1. This one you and I can probably recite without even looking at it. But in Job chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright." Folks, we have no excuse, no pillar to hide behind. The Lord has given us a command. Be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we can make all the excuses and point all the fingers or do whatever we want to do to try to sidestep that command. But nevertheless, the command stands. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I want to challenge you tonight to set the standard high. Set that bar up there. Don't be satisfied. Don't be complacent with jumping over a bar that's 6 inches high. Set your standard high. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Lord says, "Be ye perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." One more verse and we'll be done. This is the conclusion. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Did I already say one more verse already once? 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Second Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." When you and I have the desire to please God with our lives and set the standard high and shoot for a high goal and attain that, it gains God's attention and His favor. And according to the Bible, that when He looks upon that and sees that, He decides when He sees us gain that perfection, it said, the Bible says that He will show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect before Him. Why should we shoot for that perfection? Well, first of all, because God's commanded it. Because others have accomplished it. And thirdly, because it brings the blessing and the hand of God upon us. As we desire to be perfect before Him, as we desire to walk different from the world, and many times, sad to say, even different from the Christian community, we desire to go on a little farther. When everybody else is kind of settled in their comfort zone, we decided for the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to push things a little bit farther. Some are not going to understand. Some are going to get the view from behind and wonder why you're being so dedicated. But it's to get the blessing of God. It's to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Be thou perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Desire perfection. Set the standard high. Shoot to fulfill the commands of God. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is not a contest. We're not all players fighting against each other and climbing over each other's shoulders trying to get to that bar of perfection. It's an individual event. And you yourself need to desire that perfection, not to outdo somebody else, but simply because the Lord has spoken to your heart and said, I want you to be perfect. And tonight you need to make that decision that you're going to seek that which God asked you to do. It will take sacrifice many times in areas that you don't really want to sacrifice. But that's what's required to fulfill the command to be perfect. Father, speak to hearts tonight in a way that only you can. God, my greatest fear is that someone would sit for these last 30 minutes under the sound of these verses from the Bible and sadly determine in their heart that they have no desire to be perfect. They have no desire to push forward. They have no desire to get closer to you. God, I fear for a heart that stubborn and that hard. And I pray, God, tonight you'd do what it takes to break that heart, whoever it might be here amongst us. And Father, give them the desire. Only you can do it. Plant the desire within their heart to want to please God and love Him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. Use your word to speak to hearts this evening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 306. We're just going to sing a verse or two of invitation. Page 306, some are already here. If the Lord spoke it, you come while we sing.